This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
This is Frida Liu. Now, after a two-year break, we have leadership and communication coach Farida Hamid back with us on BFM to give us her unique perspective about women in the workplace. 2 years! Anyway, instead of using the word challenges to describe the top three issues women face in the workplace, she's using the phrase self-inflicted wounds because she says she's calling it as she sees it. Very apt, huh? About what Richard just said. So she's going to be sharing three actual case studies to illustrate her point, so that should get interesting. Before we start, a little bit about Farida. She is an international trainer who specializes in communication mastery for business leaders. You can find out more about her at faridahamid.com. Let me spell that. That's F-A-R-I-D. H-A-M-E-E-D.com. She also has a YouTube channel, Farida Hamid, so you can find videos of her sharing her insights on a variety of topics there. So welcome back, Farida. Good to see you again.
It's wonderful to be back, Frida.
In your bright yellow. All over, you know, I knew it'd be something bright. Now, so before we get into the case studies, there's an ongoing debate that a lot of career advice for women is misplaced because it's asking us to change when it is the structural reforms that need to take place when it comes to issues like hiring, promotion, evaluation. So which side of the debate do you stand on?
Well, I'm on the side of taking action, personal ownership, because I think, yes, I agree, there are a lot of structural obstacles or biases in place. But if you're going to wait for those things to change, nothing's going to change. It's going to take forever, right? Mm. So there are, of course, there'll be policy changes that'll come across during employment, government regulations as well. But I think when push comes to shove, I think you really have to decide that you're going to take the action to move the conversation forward.
Mm. Okay. Now, so let's unpack the self-inflicted wounds, right? From the bottom up, so three, I'm sure there's more, but let's just stick to three. What's number three for you?
Okay, this one, I think every woman out there is going to be able to relate to. We are so proud that we are champion multitaskers, are we not? Mm. Right? It's we find it in job vacancy ads. Society perpetuates this myth. And we like to feel, excuse me, that we are champion multitaskers. Because
I call them martyrs.
Yeah, that's another word for it, yeah? Because we feel valued and we feel needed, right? Mm. When we feel that people need us to do a lot of things, it feeds our ego. Right. But the dark side of that is that we are getting burned out. And the case study is myself. I was always very proud because I was a high achiever, always wanted to get things perfectly done.
You can always count on Farida.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. If the S hits the fan,
yeah,
Farida will come in and she'll sort everything out. And this is a story I hear from women all the time when I do coaching and training, is that we want to be valued, and we think the way to be valued is that we can multitask. The data shows that multitasking actually is a recipe for failure and it's for burnout. And yet this myth keeps being perpetuated. So the truth is that we cannot multitask. Mm. If you do multitask, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be doing very what I call touch and go. You're doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you are actually building the skill or the something that's very negative, that you cannot focus on one thing at one time. And so lack of focus, you're easily distracted, and you can't complete what you start. Mm. Whereas in the workplace, everybody is looking for you to be able to get something done. They don't need it done 100% perfectly, but it needs to be done well. So if you're going to say you're very good at multitasking, a lot of women put that on their CV.
Yeah.
Can I please urge you to remove that, please, from your CV? And if you do get asked that at a job interview, I think you can say it's a myth.
Yeah.
It's not true. I'd rather focus on something specific and get it done well. So what is the solution to that? The solution is to prioritize. I'll give you an example. When I used to be given a lot of things to do, finally, because I was close to burnout, I went to my boss and I said, what are the priorities that you need done this week? So that is something you could use.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, this is a very personal thing for me as well. And I actually advocate this when I do go out and talk, and I just say, my skills are not in cooking. My skills are not in cleaning. My skills is not in driving my son up and down to whatever classes, right? This is where I outsource it, because it just relieves stress for me. And I'd rather spend that time for me, or to do the things that clears my mind and that I do well in, right? Unless I love it, which I don't,
yep.
Right? Unless I find cooking therapeutic, which I don't, grocery shopping therapeutic, which I don't, right? So this is not, and what's the best, as a single mother, right? What's the best use of my time? So if I'm not so stressed, then I can have real conversations with, because if you're frazzled, then this conversation with my son will be like, just
exactly, you know, it's full of anxiety
and all that, because you're like, I've got a million one things to do, you know. As it is, I know that's my personality, so it's a very conscious effort to just say, no, I'm just focusing on the things that I'm good at and do it well.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's your personality, because high achievers tend to feel like they can multitask.
Yeah.
And so we really do need to step back and say, it's not doing me any good.
Yeah.
It's not helping my family. It's not helping my boss. So we do need to step back and say, what are the priorities? What do I need to complete this week?
Mm. The other thing also, I always use the word opportunity cost, right?
Mm.
Is my time best spent grocery shopping or going for a hike in Gussing? My time is best spent going for a hike in Gussing, right? So it's like, what's the opportunity cost, right? So I can always get the groceries delivered to my house.
What can you outsource and get done by someone else?
I'm an advocate for outsourcing as well. So that's number three, the champion multitasker, self-inflicted wound.
And feeding our ego.
Right? Yeah. Number two, what's this? You say the second most common self-inflicted wound is that take rejection way too personally.
Can all relate to that, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because this is the thing. I had a client, so I was coaching her, and she was quite upset the fact that when she was in meetings, she felt that she was giving up all these ideas, right, at the meetings, and she was very excited about her ideas, but her ideas kept falling flat. And so when she came to me, this was one of the key things that she was very concerned about. She said, why is it that, you know, my ideas are being rejected? And clearly in the conversation with her, she was taking it very personally. And how was she taking it personally? The language she was using is like, why don't they like me? Why don't they like my ideas? What's wrong with me? Are my ideas not good enough? So if you recognize any of that language, that means you're taking it personally. So I told her, why don't we just flip it? It's not all about you. Not everyone is thinking about you all the time. Flip it and think about, why is it the idea is not being accepted? Have you even done your homework and figured out whether this is even something the company is looking for? Do they even have the budget for it? Maybe your boss is preoccupied with something else. So there could be a host of other reasons why your idea may not be acceptable at that moment in time. Mm. I also told her, don't take a no as an absolute no. Mm. A no is either a maybe or a not yet.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, that's so... Come back to it and figure out, why is it your idea didn't work? Because a lot of women, I find, when they get rejections in quote marks, they don't go and find out the real reason why the idea was rejected or why they were not given a promotion. And in fact, what they do is they then sit and they simmer about why they're not valued and all that. And to me, this feeds again your ego, because why are you making it all about you? There could be many, many reasons. It could be about you. Mm. There is a possibility. But until you find out what is the reason that you're not getting these opportunities or why your ideas are not being accepted, why are you taking up your mental space, making it all about you? So I think that's really important, because I see it coming over and over again with women.
Right. And you think it's less so with men?
I think it's less so. That has been my personal experience.
Right.
I think when I used to work full time and I sat in on a meeting, there's a lot of men, if their ideas are rejected, they're perfectly fine, and then they'll go out for drinks after that, right? They don't take it so personally.
Right.
So that has truly been my experience. So that is why it's very clear to me. I see it. Women will go and sulk.
Yeah.
If their ideas are not accepted, whereas men will be like, oh, it's okay, I've got 100 other ideas, and if they don't like this idea, I'll come up with another idea.
And it's true. Okay? I'm sure there's a study somewhere out there.
But
you know, I know we're just talking about based on our observation, because that's also my experience, right? That women, oh, you know, it's about me and everything. But men's like, ah, well, okay, some more, right?
Yes.
Cheers.
And they'll have ideas that are not even good, and everybody around the room will know it's not a good idea, but they'll still talk about it, right? Whereas women will wait until they think they've got the perfect idea. And then when they bring it up, because we're so invested in the idea, and then when we bring it up and it's not accepted, we take it really hard.
It's our whole life invested in this.
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk about the number one most painful self-inflicted wound in just a moment. Farida Hamid from faridahamid.com here with me. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Open for Business. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Farida Hamid from FaridaHamid.com. We're talking about women's top three self-inflicted workplace wounds. Keywords, self-inflicted. We went through two. One is, this champion multitaskers. Women take pride in that. Maybe remove that. The other one is taking rejection way too personally. So this was the 3-2. And number one, what's the number one most painful self-inflicted wound you find with women?
We say no far more often to ourselves than others say to us. And let me explain. I'll give you an example, a case study from one of my clients. So she was quite a senior person within a multinational in Malaysia. And she'd been thinking for some time to approach the boss about getting some remote work time flexibility. So she was thinking about it for a long time, but she had not asked it because she was a bit scared, and also because no one in the organization had ever spoken about it. So when she came to me and I was coaching her, I asked her, I said, doesn't your global office have a policy about this? And so she said, yeah, I think so. So I said, why don't you go research it and find out whether they have some kind of policy about remote working? And so when she researched it and she found out that they actually did, so what we did is we worked together and we, not scripted, but we prepared for her to go and see the CEO and ask for remote working, because she had a younger kid and she wanted like a day off. And she came back to me and she said, Farida, you know what? It was so easy, because when I brought it up to him and I had my description and my policy and my explanation ready, he said, yeah, no worries. And she'd been thinking about it for some time. So this conversation to me is illustrates a part of a much larger problem, whether it comes to promotion, whether it comes to remote working. It's a lot of things that women, you know, in our heads, we make the excuse, no la, I'm not going to ask for it because they're going to say no. Right? And that actually comes from the fear of the inability to negotiate, the inability to have your argument ready. It's an inability to communicate well about why you deserve that opportunity, right? So why are we saying no to ourselves when we're not even trying? To me, that's such a big issue. And women really need to look at themselves and ask themselves, what am I saying no to this year before I've even asked for the opportunity? So what I tell women is do the ask. Do the ask. If you get a no, it's okay.
Right.
Because people always tell me, you know, how do I get confidence? It's a common issue I get in training and coaching.
Right.
And I tell people, you know what? There is a precursor to confidence. It's called courage.
Okay.
Right. Before you get confident, you have to get courage. Mm. And how do you get courage? You get courage by doing the thing that you're scared of, right? Mm. Because it's building the muscle.
Right.
So, yes, when you first ask something, you won't have all your words right. You may not come out right. But there's only one way to get where you want to go, and that's in building the muscle. You've got to have that resilience. You've got to keep asking until you get it right. And once you learn how to ask it properly, the small things, it'll be easier to ask for the big things. So my advice always is do the ask and be prepared that it's going to be a no.
Yeah.
And coming back to that, you know, taking rejection personally, it's okay if it's a no, right? But just keep asking. Because until you ask, you're not going to know the answer. And the second thing I want to point out is a lot of women have to realize, especially the ones who are in a slightly more senior positions like middle management and maybe C-suite -1, -2, you are role modeling a behavior for the younger women who are watching you. If you are not going to pave the way, if you're not going to ask for the things that are important to you, like remote working, like asking for promotion opportunities, what you're role modeling to the young people is don't bother asking.
Right. You're perpetuating it.
So you have to look at yourself and say, if no one's asking it, why can't I ask it? At least I'm starting the conversation,
right.
And that's the important thing.
Right. Now, I like that what you said about the precursor of courage, right? And, you know, and it's just doing this, and then you get more courageous along the way.
Frida, you and I know everybody. You interview thousands of women every year, and all of them, I'm sure, tell you that they were actually the first one to ask for many things. And every woman that I've spoken at conferences, at events, this is the thing that comes up. It's okay. Be the first. Ask for it. Because once it's a yes, and other women can see, hey, you know what? It can be a yes, and I'm going to try too. Right? That's how you change a culture within an organization. Okay. Right? Don't wait for the policies to change. Don't wait for someone else to champion for you. Go and ask for it.
Think of the suffragettes.
Exactly.
So women's top three self-inflicted workplace wounds. One is champion multitaskers. We take too much pride in that. Taking rejection way too personally. And we say no
far more often to ourselves than what others say to us.
All right. FaridaHamid.com. You can check her out there. And again, it's a pleasure to see you again after 2 years. I didn't realize it was 2 years. You've been listening to Open for Business Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.